are going to talk about improving high schools and high school educations coming up in just a few minutes, talking with the author of the new book, Raising the Grade. But first, it's our spring membership drive, and I'm joined today by Jean Purcell to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make your pledge of support at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552. Good morning, Jean.
And good morning, Joy. It is day two of our three-day drive, a very, very short drive, and that means every single call is very important. Now, this hour, we have a $1,000 goal, but to go along with that, we have a great challenge this hour. For the first $1,000 that we raise, we will match every single dollar of it. And that's coming.
Wow, that's great.
That is great. Dollar for dollar match. You can't make that kind of money in the stock market these days. So for every dollar we raise up to the goal, we will match every single dollar. So call now. Be the first to call in this morning at 888-202-2552.
Most broadcast media only take a minute or less to tell the story, but you know you get more than just that on Wisconsin Public Radio. We take the time to bring you the whole story, hour-long, in-depth discussions about the issues that matter to you. This kind of broadcasting takes time. It takes quality journalists and producers and resources, and listeners like you help pay for the programming that you hear every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So won't you make your pledge of support right now, securely online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And again, $1,000 goal this hour, and we are matching every single dollar up to $1,000. So now is a great time to call 888-202-2552. Maybe it's been a while since you've made a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You've been listening for a long time. You made a pledge maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and all of a sudden you remember, you know, it's been a long time since I picked up the phone and made a call or logged on and made a pledge. Well, now is the time to renew that support. A short pledge drive. Your call makes a difference. Your pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may be thinking, I've never pledged to anything before. What's it like? Well, it's very short. It's quick. It's easy. It's painless. Takes about 3 minutes or so. You'll answer some basic questions, your name, your address, how much you would like to donate, and how you would like to pay by credit card, or we can send you a reminder in the mail. And remember, if you any pledge you make, any amount, makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will be, thanks to existing members, match every single pledge during this hour up to $1,000. So call in that pledge right now at 888-202-2552, or you can make it online at WPR.org.
At $1,000 Challenge Grant, it's great news. If you've been thinking about making a pledge, now is the time to do it. And once you make your pledge, it's easy to pay. You can use a credit card. We accept all the major ones, including American Express, Visa, Discover, and MasterCard. You can pay your whole pledge at once. You can set up monthly installments. It's really up to you. Decide what works for you, what works for your budget. Some people still like to write a check. We're happy to accept that as well. The important thing, though, is that you become a member, that you become part of the process. You support Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge online at WPR.org.
We will, in just a moment, talk to Governor Bob Wise, who is the author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. But still time for you to double your money with a pledge right now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Take advantage of this matching challenge grant up to $1,000. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Jean, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a bit. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So let us start talking about education. talk about Raising the Grade. Wondering what questions you have for Bob Wise, author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. Bob Wise is the former governor of West Virginia, a former congress member who is now the president of the Alliance for Excellent Education. He says this country has long neglected secondary education, and it comes at an alarming cost. And he says it's time for more federal support and reforms to improve secondary education to ensure a better future for our youth. We'll talk with Bob Wise about the problem and the solutions to the achievement gap and the dropout rate, and we will welcome your questions for him. Our call-in number to join the conversation, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Bob Wise, former governor of West Virginia, one of the nation's leading experts on high school reform, is the author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. He joins us by telephone. Good morning. Hello, Governor Wise, are you there? Well, Karen, for some reason, our guest is not there, so let me give you the numbers once again at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And let me try once again. Governor Wise, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Sorry for that little technical glitch. You say you wrote this book to motivate us to demand more federal action to improve our nation's high schools. Why demand more federal action?
Actually, I hope it motivates people to act at every level, the school board level, the state legislature, as well as federal. But there's a federal role as well. Anytime we have almost 1.2 million of our students dropping out, anytime we have the incredible economic costs that come to that, both to the students and to our nation, anytime we're faced with a workforce that won't have the work skills necessary to compete in a global economy, that needs federal attention as well as local and state.
Yeah, 1.2 million are dropping out?
Before the school day finishes today in this country, almost 7,000 students will have dropped out of high school. And that totals that's each and every school day, about one every 26 seconds. It works out to about 1.2 million. Another significant fact, though, is those are the ones who drop out. Regrettably, almost another third will finish high school but without the skills they need for college or the mm-hmm. workplace. And so clearly, this is something that requires attention at every level, including the federal level.
Yeah, why are so many dropping out?
A number of reasons. For some, it's lack of engagement. They're simply not challenged in school. Others have incredible problems that they bring to school. I believe that one of the reasons they're dropping out, a main reason, is that despite great effort by educators, and many of our educators are working very hard, they're working hard in an older system, a high school system that was actually designed in the 19th century, still trying to make it in the 21st. The educators, the teachers, the principals, and so on, are producing results out of that system greater than what the system was designed for, but it's still an old system. It's like we're trying to drive a 45 or 50-year-old car and expect it to meet the modern requirements that we have of cars today.
Yeah, so what would update the system?
What updates the system is, first of all, taking a realistic look at both what are our challenges, but also what is it we want from this high school of the 21st century, and would it look much like the high schools that we have today? My guess is that, and not a guess, is that it would not. And we would also need to constantly be updating the standards that we expect our students to reach. Once again, workforce and skill level needs are changing rapidly. The best instance of that is as we get away from a more manufacturing economy, one where you could make a good wage but you did not need a high school education or post-secondary, today we're in a world where 90% of the fastest-growing high-wage jobs require education after high school, post-secondary, and 60% of current jobs require post-secondary education. So we have to make sure that our curriculum is constantly being upgraded. One leading problem in our country is literacy, that is, the ability to read and comprehend in the middle and high school grades. According to our only federal benchmark that's called NAEP, National Assessment of Educational Progress, a test that's administered in the fourth and eighth grades, in the 12th grade voluntarily. Well, according to that, nationally, we have 70% of our eighth graders reading below a proficient level. Mm-hmm. And proficient basically means grade level. So we have 29% nationally reading significantly below a proficient level, or what they call below basic, or two or three grades below grade level. So now you have eighth graders, 70% below proficient, entering high school where they're not, where high schools don't expect to have to confront literacy issues, and yet they do. And so that's one area that we can focus on, working with our teachers, working with our schools, our curriculum, to weave these reading and comprehension strategies into the system so that kids are better able to handle the rigorous content material they're confronted with.
We welcome your questions for Bob Wise, author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. What reforms do you think are needed? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May the 2nd. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Have you ever read a book that has changed your life? Ben and his guest will discuss the impact of books on our lives after 5 this afternoon. Right now, we're talking about Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. Our guest is Bob Wise, who is the author of this book. He is the former governor of West Virginia, and he is also the president of the group, the Alliance for Excellent Education. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about the problems facing secondary education in this country and how to solve those problems. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Governor Wise, what about No Child Left Behind? Has that made things better or worse?
It probably has made, it's done both in this way. The first thing it did that was positive was it required reporting by all schools, whatever grade level, as to how their students were doing, and then also to disaggregate, to break it out according to groups within the school, so that for the very first time, now people are able to look and say, okay, this school has an overall good graduation rate, but we noticed that a particular group, whether it's ethnic, socioeconomic, that is income level, or disability, or English language learner, is not getting a good education. So we need to focus on that. So it gave people the ability to look much more rigorously at school. That's the good part. The challenge is that No Child Left Behind does not really address high schools for two reasons. First of all, while No Child Left Behind has requirements on testing, and you're measured, you're held accountable to how well students do for tests, it does not have any, effectively, it does not have accountability for graduation rates. And so we have this ironic situation where we run kids a mile race, we test them every tenth of a mile, but yet when they get ready to cross the finish line, we throw up the cards and say we're not really keeping track anymore. Second piece of No Child Left Behind is the carrot and the stick of No Child Left Behind. What makes schools respond and want to work with it is the federal dollars. And basically that's called Title I, and those are funds that go to schools with concentrations of low-income students. Well, only 8% of high school students are covered by Title I dollars. There's not enough Title I money. It rightly goes to the earlier grades in most school districts. And so the result is and that what you would need to do to improve your school using Title I simply isn't available because there aren't any Title I dollars for most of our high school students. So that's the real issue. And that's one reason I wrote this book, is Congress will have to take up No Child Left Behind, whether this year, which is looking more and more improbable, or in the next few years. So Congress and the next president. And what I wanted to do was to present someone who's been in politics the perspective. I wish I had known in 10 years ago when I was in public office or what I've learned in the last three as head of the Alliance for Excellent Education working in high school reform about what's a responsible and appropriate role And what are the needs of high schools, but also what's the appropriate federal role?
Let me take a caller for you. Julie in Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm curious to know what you believe specifically the requirements for a graduating senior should be. I mean, right now they're 4 years of English, I believe, 3 or 4 years of math, 2 or 3 of science.
Yeah, and as I recall, Wisconsin has Wisconsin has one of the more higher level core curriculum requirements for graduation. It's important as a graduation, as important as what the course is, it's what's the content of the course. And so that's what I'm most interested in, is making sure that it's relevant to what the kids are going to need, students are going to need in their workplace or the college or wherever they go. And interestingly enough, in terms of graduation, because some states sort of divide it up and say if you're in college prep, you do this. If you're in career and technical, you do this. Increasingly, what the research is showing, and ACT, one of the major test organizations, shows this, is there's a convergence of what it is that students are going to need for the modern workplace, that is going in without going to college, is almost the same, if not the same, as what they're going to need to succeed in college. So I'm not giving you a specific answer in the sense of what's the name of the course. I am trying to say that what the standards ought to be that they're being taught to need to be as high and rigorous as possible, and they need to reflect essentially what you're going to need in a college prep curriculum, because even if a young person goes into a career right away, they're going to need essentially the same skills, and they're all much higher than they were just 30 or 40 years ago.
We're going to check news, and we will talk more about how we can improve high schools and secondary education in this country. Take more of your questions and suggestions for our guest, Bob Wise, who is author of Raising the Grade. But first, it's time to remind you that this is an important day at Wisconsin Public Radio, day 2 of our spring membership drive, a very, very brief spring membership drive, the last weekday of this drive, to ask for you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Jean Purcell, to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And Gene, so far, so good.
So far, so good. We want to get back to that goal for a second here. We've got a $1,000 goal that we'd like to be at before 7 o'clock. And this hour, we are doing a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000. So all pledges up to that $1,000 goal will be matched dollar for dollar. So your $120 pledge automatically turns into $240 just because you made a phone call or you made a pledge online at WPR.org. Right now we've got $160 in the bank, so we've got a ways to go. So let's get going. 888-202-2552. Make that call now.
Yeah, the first $1,000 in contributions this hour is going to be matched by existing members of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. These supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio pooled the money to encourage you to take that step to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio by matching your donation during this hour up to the first $1,000. So two for one for you. 1-800-888. I want to say 1-800 all the time. It's 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
And as you mentioned, Joy, this is a short pledge drive. We are doing 3 days, and that, if you've been around our pledge drives for a while, they've been longer in the past. And this one is short because we've had such terrific support over the past couple of years, so we're able to shorten it up substantially. But that really means that every single call really needs to happen. So, for example, if you'd make a pledge right now at $120 level, you would be matched dollar for dollar. So all of a sudden, you've pledged another $120, and we'd be happy to send you the WPR member benefit card. And a lot of you are familiar with it already, but if you're not, it is good for 2-for-1 entrees at over 250 restaurants around Wisconsin, 2 nights for the price of 1 at over 50 bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. It's also good for performances and attractions, museums, money off admissions, and so forth. So the member benefit card, all that for $120 pledge, and you get to support the programming like this that you hear every day, the programming you count on every day here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So make your pledge, 888-202-2552.
Whether you're in the car, at home, or at work, you can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, your companion wherever you are. You can listen online at WPR.org at any time. You can get podcasts of some of our programs. You can listen to programs on the website that have been archived there. It's a great way to keep Wisconsin Public Radio in your life, no matter what you're doing. So your pledge now will not only support all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, but also supports the accessibility of Wisconsin Public Radio through all of these means. So pledge online any amount, and it will be matched right now up to $1,000. Online pledge WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that accessibility you talked about, Joy, does come with a price. Whether you're talking about podcasts, there are servers, there's bandwidth. Same goes for streaming and archiving. There's also a price to be paid for traditional old radio broadcasting.
That's right.
Keeping the towers up, keeping the lights on. All of that comes with a cost. And you, as a listener, help Wisconsin Public Radio. You're our most important source of funding. So make your pledge now. WPR.org is how you can do it on the web, or a call 888-202-2552.
Our mission is to keep you informed by bringing you news and information every day. Our goal is to keep you up to date and aware of the issues of our region, our state, our nation, and our world. We are dedicated to achieving this mission, and every time you tune in, you will hear reports or talk shows that measure up to the highest standards of journalism, and we welcome your support for that service right now with your call or your online pledge. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, May the 2nd. Continuing our discussion now about improving our nation's high schools, improving the achievement gap, lowering the dropout rate, welcoming your questions, your thoughts about how this might happen, as we talk with Bob Wise, president of the Alliance for Excellent Education, former congressmember and former governor of West Virginia, author of the new book, Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Governor Wise, we have in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee in particular, one of the worst achievement gaps in the nation between white students and students of color. Why is this happening?
It's unfortunately a long-rooted problem. There are a number of reasons why in across the country. It's not just Milwaukee. This is a unfortunate phenomenon. Some of it is low expectations for those students, that we've communicated to them that we don't expect them to be able to succeed, and therefore that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Second is that we often have trouble getting our highest performing teachers to get them into the lowest performing schools where we desperately need them. A third is recognizing that many of these students come to school with certain challenges from their environment. We have to deal with those as well. Now, having said all of that, we can't let that be an excuse. Every child now has to succeed. This is, and one of the reasons I wrote the book was to bring together what we call the moral imperative, that is, that every child should get a quality education, with the economic imperative, which is, in the old days, we didn't need every child to succeed for our economy to do quite well. Today, from some of the statistics I mentioned earlier, we need every child to succeed. So it's both a moral imperative and it's also an economic one. And what we also need to recognize is, and one of the reasons I wrote the book, is that in Milwaukee, as across the rest of the nation, most of the most of the residents do not have someone in the public school system. About only 25% of the American public has direct contact with the public school system. But that high school in Milwaukee or wherever it is in Wisconsin, what happens in that high school directly affects every citizen, the other 75%. It affects us economically. It affects us in the taxes we'll pay or increase taxes if students aren't graduating and aren't able to pay taxes. It will affect us in increased health care costs that dropouts will tend to occur. It will also affect us. One of your previous news stories was about the economic stimulus package. Mm-hmm. It affects us because if a student drops out, we know that they make a far less, around $10,000 a year less income than just a high school graduate. A college graduate will make $1 million more over their lifetime than a high school dropout. Who is it that's going to be able to be an economic pillar of the community, to buy the new car, to buy the house or a higher mortgage level? Who is it that's going to make investments in the branch bank? So this is that's why I wrote the book, was to show how improving high school affects all of us, not just the students in them.
Yeah. But, you know, there has been resources devoted to trying to improve this achievement gap, to try to reduce the dropout rate. It's not like we're saying, oh, this is a problem and not trying to solve it. Why isn't it improving?
Well, thank you, because you mentioned a key point. It's not just about the problem. We know the problem, and I outline it in the book, but we also know there are research-backed solutions, but we have to have the will. So the question is, how enthusiastically, how aggressively, and I know that there are some that in Milwaukee and other places that are aggressively pursuing this, but for instance, are we talking about tweaking schools around the edges? Are we talking about, once again, what does that high school need to look like to be relevant in the 21st century? An example, is there an individual graduation or a personal graduation plan for every student, at least at-risk student, from grade 7 on? There are early warning indicators that you pick up as early as the sixth grade. Truancy, for instance, failure to pass a math or science, at least one math or science course. So once these are identified, what kind of interventions are immediately available? And too often what happens in the secondary school system, middle and particularly high school, is that there aren't adequate resources to take the steps that are necessary, that educators know are necessary, that the practitioners know. And so the question then becomes it's about knowing the problem, it's about having a plan to deal with it, and then it's about having the will. One of the things we call for at the federal level is a targeted fund, a fund that targets the lowest performing high schools, and there are several in Milwaukee, lowest performing high schools in the nation, and direct federal funds that would be joined with a strategy developed at the school district and state level to turn around those lowest performing schools. But what we say is that money can't, it's not just, we're not sending money to make a bad system more expensive. We're sending money that drives systemic change. So you have to have a plan that shows how it is that you're going to truly turn that school around. That's one of the weaknesses of the current No Child Left Behind is, while it talks in those terms, there are no resources and there's no targeted fund, particularly to high schools, to turn them around.
Yeah, and part of that plan would include a personal graduation plan for every at-risk student?
That would be up to the school district, but where what we do find is that in the area, the schools that are making a difference with all the indicators that you're talking about, all the challenges, and yet these kids are graduating high levels of graduation with high levels of college going rates, what we find is a high degree of personalization. And by that I mean, first of all, knowing that child for who that child is and what their particular strengths and weaknesses are, having a personal graduation plan to maximize their successes and opportunities, and finally, making sure that that plan isn't just a sheet of paper, and also having in that school and structuring that school in such a way that there is an adult that has a direct relationship with every student, so that you have one adult that's directly talking to 10 to 20 students a week on a regular basis, and the other teachers, in turn, are keeping in contact with that adult. Think of the high school teacher today who has, in a school day, 120 to 150 students. Think of the guidance counselor who may have as many as 500 students. The students that need help the most aren't able to get it. So that's why we need to look at restructuring with the interactions taking place in that school so that we have the most at-risk students directly with direct access on a regular basis to an adult that's monitoring them.
Let's go to the phones. Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, Victor. You're on the air.
Morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I'd like to bring up a few concerns. Often you mention you need more federal dollars coming into the communities, but, you know, there's another way. I think the problem is just plain local. One, you have to keep in mind who the students' first teachers are. It's the parents. You know, if the parents' expectations are high, the students are going to do well. If it's low, they're not. And you have to wonder how many parents actually go to the PTA conferences. Another point is a major concern, is again, this is local. You still have the so-called white flight from the inner city to the suburban and private schools. And if the parents or the graduates of these schools don't reinvest in their own communities, of course the schools are going to go down. So there's your money problem right there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is a market society. Do you think, really, excellent instructor is one to go inside the inner city expecting less pay to deal with these students?
Yeah, we got a lot, three big issues here and not a lot of time because we have a weather break coming up. But Governor Wise, what about
that? Sure.
Victor hits
three issues very importantly. Parents, parental involvement, absolutely critical. But even if the parents aren't participating, we still have to figure out ways to move those students. It's a harder lift, but it has to be done. We have no choice. Second, in terms of market-based incentives, he's correct as well, which is one reason that many areas look at perhaps a pay incentive to go teach in inner-city schools. But it's not just about the pay. If you don't restructure that school so that that teacher feels backed up, so that the principal has authority to make the changes necessary, then more pay won't draw that teacher in. It's about mentoring. It's about providing backup, particularly for our newer teachers. And the third one is, unfortunately, we are resegregating our schools. They call it education by zip code. But what that calls for then is to make sure that there's equitable funding that drives systemic reform, not just depending upon the local property tax, because obviously poorer areas won't be able to keep up with more affluent ones.
We will check weather and then talk more with and take more calls for Bob Wise, who is author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. What do you think? What reforms do you think are needed? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Bob Wise, author of Raising the Grade, How High School Reform Can Save Our Youth and Our Nation. Just a few more minutes with Governor Wise to talk with you about high school reforms. Can you, Governor Wise, give us an example of a high school that's got it right? What high school has reformed itself to do what we want it to do?
In the book, actually, I list a number of them. Basically, what you have in New York City, you have successful high school reform underway in which the graduation rate is increasing, where, for instance, one very large high school was broken down into four or five smaller ones within the same building because they didn't have that luxury of moving them elsewhere. But so that now students have much more direct relationship with a core group of teachers, and there's some schools that operate under the theme academy, which is they assess ninth graders for what are their immediate needs. They make sure that they get them up to speed within that ninth grade, and then in the 10th and 11th and 12th grades, they can choose to attend a theme academy, which is tailored to whatever their particular interests are, whether it's health care, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, we're developing a profile, or we list in the book, what are the 10 elements of a successful high school that seem to be borne out across, no matter what they call the model that we're working with, what the group may be, what are the 10 elements? And we find the same 10 elements that are appearing in almost every example. So that's the message that I think is critically important, is it can be done. There is a problem. We know what to do about it. There are research-backed, evidence-backed solutions. There are high schools underway that are making the difference. But it is critically important we have the will. I wrote the book to try and build the will, to show the crisis, to show the solutions, but to try and build the wills so that people understood the importance of that high school in our community. Just one quick economic example. the class of 2007 that did not graduate in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has a higher graduation mm-hmm. rate than many of our states, but even that class that did not graduate in Wisconsin will cost the state $4.6 billion over their working lifetimes in lost incomes. That is, income they would have earned, most likely would have earned, but won't because they didn't get that educational attainment. $202 million in increased health care costs, basically paid by taxpayers. And so what we have is, unfortunately, too many of our young people that drop out are turned into tax consumers, not taxpayers. Another motivation. And then, of course, our workforce, as Wisconsin constantly seeks industries and businesses with higher skill levels, as we do across the country, the workforce is vitally important. Who's going to be there to fill those jobs, not only tomorrow, but over the next 10 years?
Yeah. In our final minute, Governor Wise, is Congress looking at some reform, some legislation that you think will help us raise the grade?
Congress is looking at it, and I'm pleased to say that in the last 3 years it's moved a long way and indeed has incorporated many of the reforms that I talk about, my organization talks about, in proposed legislation. The most important thing Congress can do, though, is to pass something called the Graduation Promise Act, which would target funds to school districts with the lowest performing high schools, once again requiring that those schools have a plan for systemic change, not just changing the chairs around, mm-hmm. systemic change. I think that would probably be one of the areas most important to the schools you and I were talking about, whether in Milwaukee or other parts of Wisconsin. There are about 2,000 high schools in this country that account for half the dropouts in the country. It's about 12% of our high schools. We can start targeting them right now, and Congress has that ability to help the state and the school district.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bob Wise, author of Raising the Grade. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we're going to talk politics, and we're going to talk about race, gender, and age, and how those attributes, characteristics, factor into the presidential election. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, I'm joined by Jean Purcell once again to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this, the last weekday of our very short spring membership drive. You can make a contribution of any amount to help pay for this service by going online, wpr.org, or calling 888-202-2552. Hello again, Gene.
And hello again, Joy. It's great to be here. We've got that $1,000 goal we've been talking about earlier in the hour, and we are almost there. We're within $10. We have a very mysterious $7 left to go on that goal. But it's a great sign, and you know, it would be great if we just sort of met that goal and exceeded it. So 888-202-2552. We also want to mention that we had a challenge grant during this hour where existing WPR members were asked whether they'd be willing to give a little bit extra to encourage others to become part of the Wisconsin Public Radio family. And they said yes, and so that's where that money came from. And thanks to everybody who did check that little box and said, yes, I'd like to help out. And thanks to all of you who have called this hour. Now, thanks to you, who's going to call next, at 800-202-2552.
In fact, if you call in with a pledge of $7,
yep,
that will be matched
by
existing members. You can make a pledge of $7, or you can make a pledge of $700 or $7,000. You decide. It's entirely up to you what works in your budget and what Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you. But make that pledge because you value this service and you value all of the programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you understand that it's listener-supported radio. You are the most important part of our funding, and contributions from listeners like you come during pledge drives like this one by going to our website, WPR.org, or calling 888-202-2552.
If you spend a lot of time with Wisconsin Public Radio, please support this service. I imagine a lot of you begin your day with Joy Cardine. Stick around for a while with Kathleen Dunn. Get some gardening advice from Larry Mueller. Catch up on mm-hmm. national affairs with Talk of the Nation. Tune into Gene Ferracca. Round out the rest of the day with Ben Marins. And then, if you stick around long enough, it's On Point. point, and so on.
What a variety. What a deal. You get all of that for your pledge of any amount.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're here every single day. On the weekends, of course, it's more entertainment-oriented. Mm-hmm. Prairie Home Companion, What Do You Know, Car Talk. And so it's a really great variety of programming. It comes to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week throughout the state of Wisconsin. And it's all possible because somebody just like you made a pledge of support. You can help support this service, this companion that you count on, who is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Make your pledge online at WPR.org if you're just getting into the office, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
You can make your pledge payment using a credit card right now. You can pay the entire pledge at once, or you can set up monthly installments. It's up to you. You can use your MasterCard, Visa, Discover, or American Express online at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552.
It is easy to do. We try to make it as convenient for you as possible. So make that call right now. We've heard from Ken in Green Bay. Says he enjoys starting his morning with a cup of coffee and listening to Expanded Ideas here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for the call, Ken. Thanks for the pledge of support. WPR.org is where you can make that pledge of support. And I hope you'll join Ken in moving from being a WPR listener to an active listener contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll really become part of the process. We also heard from George this morning in Curtis. Says he always gets a lot out of WPR, both the news and the classical music. Feels that the Ideas Network gives a better perspective than much of the mainstream media. Also likes the classical music and Jonathan Overby's program.
You listen to a lot of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, or at least you have the opportunity to listen to everything on Wisconsin Public Radio. But you know, you're listening right now. You're thinking about it right now. That's why you should give at this very moment. It's the right thing to do. So do it now. You'll feel good when you do. Wisconsin Public Radio is an organization that will spend your money wisely and frugally. You may give to many nonprofit organizations. Wisconsin Public Radio is an important public service, and you will be making a wise investment in quality programming, music, news, talk, and entertainment. 1-888-202-2552, the number to call to make your pledge right now or pledge online at WPR.org.
And we've got some good news, Joy, for those of you who are not in the studio. When we make our goal, the little line turns green, and the green is a good thing. And so we've met and exceeded our $1,000 goal for the last hour, so let's keep it going. I mean, it's really nice to see those numbers go up. And again, given the shortness of this drive, this is the last weekday of the drive, a 3-day drive. Your call is very, very important. WPR.org is where you can pledge online or call us at 888-202-2552.
I feel really, really good when I see that green line light up, because it does mean that you do care. You really do like us. Thank you so much for all of your contributions so far this drive or in previous drives, or if you're an ongoing member by renewing through the mail or through monthly installments. We could not do this without you. It is very much appreciated. 1/3 or so of our budget is made up of listener contributions, and it's the most important part of our funding mix. 888-202-2552 is the number to call if you would like to do that, to make your contribution. Again, any amount. Or go online, WPR.org. You know, if you go online and pay with your credit card, it does save us a little bit of money, because less money goes into paperwork and more into programming, and it's easy and secure to do it that way. So we encourage you to go to WPR.org if you care to.
We sure do. And join Jim up in Winter this morning, great part of the state. Recently started listening. And, you know, that's the thing we have to remember. People are always discovering Wisconsin Public Radio. He really enjoys the program. And Jim already made a pledge, even though he just started listening. So thanks for that. Thanks to all of you who called during this hour. And there's still room for you to get in at 888-202-2552 or make your pledge online at WPR.org.
Again, thank you so much for helping us exceed the goal for this hour. We have more great programming coming for you. Thanks, Gene. We'll talk to you in a bit. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.